Ok.
On Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety. Colleagues, today is February 4th, 2015. We are convened for the purposes of an informational meeting. We have with us our legislative fiscal officer, Linda Gilbert, and we also have a new administrative or a new assistant to the committee, Risa Schumann. And what I thought we'd do is hand it off to Linda in just a moment. But before we do, for those of you who are here, if you just want to introduce yourself for the record, and also just say if there's any particular interest in public safety that that you might want to work on during this legislative session. Rep. Barker, would you like to?
Yeah, Jeff Barker. I'm a state representative from the Beaverton Loa area, and I'm the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. So I'm just interested in the whole overall program. Thank you. Okay.
Good afternoon. I'm State Representative Gene Wisden, House District 53, and this is like the movie Groundhog. I started out my legislative career in Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee with Senator Winters in 2005, and I'm glad to be back. And public safety is the primary. Is the reason we have state government or any kind of government, and I'm here to try to be sure they're adequately funded. Thank you.
I'm Jennifer Williamson, State Representative for House District 36, downtown Portland, and I had the honor of being the co-chair of this committee last session and enjoyed it a great deal, and am looking forward to building on some of the work that we did last session.
My name is Chip Shields. I represent North and Northeast Portland in the Oregon State Senate. I was the chair of the Public Safety Sub in 07 and co-chair in 09.
Oh, Jackie Winter, State Senator, District 10. I don't want to go through my long resume. but anyway, I co-chaired with Representative Williamson last session. Just public safety is an area and arena that I've been involved with for a number of years, and including that connection with not only public safety but human resources. So glad to continue and work on some of the initiatives and things that some of us have worked for over the years.
And Risa, would you like to tell us something about yourself?
This is my first session, and I am new to Oregon but love it here, so I look forward to working with everyone.
And Linda.
I'm Linda Gilbert. I have been with the Legislative Fiscal Office since May of 2012, and before that I was in budget management in the governor's budget shop for 14 years. And before that, I worked for the legislature.
All right. So why don't we hand it off to you, Linda, if that's okay with you, Co-Chair Williamson, and just let her take it away.
Let's go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am going to highlight some of the materials that are available for you, and it's probably rather familiar to a lot of you. If you're in OLIS, it's the Public Safety LFO Overview. It includes an orientation memo, the ways and means rules that were adopted yesterday by which we will all operate. There's a list of agencies and bill numbers assigned to this subcommittee, and a brief public safety budget history display, and then presentation guidelines for agencies and LFO that will be coming before you, and also grant application guidelines. Some of the things in the orientation memo, we naturally are very interested in starting at the starting time, which is 1 o'clock, but please let us know if you're unable to be here, and Risa will accept that. We have, with respect to a quorum, we need 2 Senate members and 3 House members to make a quorum and report legislation from the subcommittee to the joint committee. And Ways and Means co-chairs and co-vice chairs may also participate and vote when in attendance. With respect to meeting operations, the microphones in this room are very sensitive and may pick up side conversations, as they very nearly did about a minute before we started.
What's she talking about?
most of our votes will be a voice vote only. But if a roll call is needed, then Ms. Schumann will call the roll for us. Meeting notice is required 72 hours before the first public hearing on a bill, 48 hours for subsequent public hearings and work sessions. Bills can be carried over to the next day if need be, as long as it's for the same purpose as originally scheduled. And everything that we will provide for you will be available on OLIS, but we will make one paper agenda available at your places every day.
Are you telling us that we've gone paperless?
Well, clearly I haven't, but we're trying. With respect to agency budgets, there's a list of all the agencies assigned to this subcommittee in today's meeting materials. There are 12 agencies, including the three from the judicial branch. And the list also includes the LFO and the budget management analyst names and phone numbers if you have specific questions on specific budgets. I can make available a single binder of the governor's budget, as in the hefty paper binder. We will not necessarily have a binder in this room, but if you want one and want to look at one, I will make sure that one is brought in for that purpose. And the tentative order of agency budget hearings is listed in our orientation, in the orientation memo. It begins next week with the Criminal Justice Commission, followed by Military Department. And then the following week is public safety standards and training and parole and post-prison supervision. And I'm not even going to read past that because schedules have ways of changing, but that is available for you to see. Your work is organized into three phases. The first phase is agencies coming in with the governor's budget analyst to give a high-level view of the agency, significant issues that they would like to draw your attention to. And before each agency's budget hearings begin, the materials that we will make available for you are the governor's budget document for the agency, the LFO 2015-17 budget review document, agency presentation materials for that day or period of days, and the Department of Administrative Services Chief Financial Office presentation materials. Then during the second phase, which should be April and early May, you will hear more in-depth discussions of major budget issues that will have come up in the first presentations and others that are of interest to any of you. Please let me know. And the purpose of this is to prepare for work session by going over major budget issues and decisions that need to be made and getting into certain budgets a little more deeply than in the first phase. Third phase, work sessions on agency budgets. And work sessions, as a reminder, are scheduled with the approval of the Ways and Means co-chairs. And as to budget notes may be included in the budget report, which is essentially the record of intent for an agency's appropriation bill, going with an appropriation bill. A budget note may be included if it's essential to clarify or expand upon administrative requirements directly related to the budget. If you want to propose a budget note, it must go through the subcommittee co-chairs and then must be approved by both of the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. You will have other work as well. You may have budget-related fee bills that would need to be ratified if fee changes were made during the interim. There may be federal grant application requests, and in your materials today, there's the process for reviewing those requests. Agency reports, if specific reports have been requested, or at least there can be reports that follow up on questions that you have during their presentations. And then later, the policy bills or substance of legislation with fiscal impact. And again,
yes, Representative Whitson.
Linda, you said have there been fee bills or fees that have been enacted that we're going to have to approve? Did you have any yet? By the agency since we adjourned.
I don't have any for the agencies that are in my portfolio, but there are other analysts, and so I don't have the answer to your question yet, but there may be.
Okay. Just for the committees, I've got a bill, to be honest. I've had several constituents on issues about fees, and before we had annual sessions, the way the law read is an agency, after we adjourned, Sonny died, could increase a fee, and that fee was in place for almost a year and a half until we came back in 2 years for legislature. I worked it with LFO, and we changed that to say it would only be till the next session. So a fee now is reviewed also in our short session. but I really feel strong that that's a legislative responsibility. We're meeting annual now, and I don't know why agencies should have the right to raise fees for the 9 months between, 10 months between February, you know, 6 months between the long session and 9 months between. So I have a bill. I just think that's a legislative responsibility, and the rules should reflect that. We're meeting every year now that agencies should not have the right to raise fees on our citizens without legislative review. So I don't know if you could bring that up. Chairs with the, you know, it'd be better, probably pass better if it was a committee bill instead of Representative Wisnett's bill. But
Representative Wisnett, I think the only issue I would raise on that in this particular subcommittee is the judicial branch and how that works with the judicial branch. And so if we look into it, I want to make sure that we're...
And the bill could have it, yeah. Mr. Chair, this bill could have exceptions,
right,
or whatever, but I just think that we should take that away from agencies to raise. I've had people companies call me and say they raised the admin fee. We did that about a year and a half ago after we adjourned, and that should have been... Mm-hmm. But I take your point. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Point well taken. Linda.
There are links in the orientation memo to a few documents that we believe might be useful, and one is the LFO analysis of the 13-15 legislatively adopted budget. It's a fairly large document as printed, so there's a lot of detail on agencies in there. There is an overview of Oregon's budget process, subtitled Budget 101, that can be interesting. And then the governor's... All titles have to have subtitles, apparently. And then the governor's 2015-17 budget document is also available online. There is, as I had mentioned earlier, on page 7 of this handout, a brief agency budget history. So it's the 12 agencies in this program area that you will be looking at. And you will see there are 2011-13 actual dollars, and then the 13-15 legislatively approved budget through December of 14, the 2015-17 current service level, and then the governor's budget. And I, you know, we'll go through these one by one as the agencies come in, so there isn't necessarily anything further to say on that, but just to let you know that it's there.
I should know this, Linda, but where do we see the $3,194
in that
the
display?
Agency budget history?
Where you will most prominently see a change as a result of 3194 is in the Criminal Justice Commission, mm-hmm, in general fund. So in 11-13 they had just under $5 million. In 13-15 they had $24 million. Same in current, in $25 million in current service level, and that then jumps in the governor's budget to $73.5 million.
Thank you.
That's not all 3194, but
right,
$58 million of that is 3194.
Right. All right. Thank you.
So Linda.
Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Linda, in the corrections budget, will that be broken out so that we can see how much of that in community corrections, because they're correlated? You know, you talk about the Criminal Justice Commission and the community corrections budget. So hopefully when we get into those presentations, mm-hmm, we will be able to see what was in the governor's budget versus and so forth. And I think that's what you're trying to get at.
Right. And the prison forecast
and the prison
is not broken
forecast.
Out.
Yes.
Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Co-Chair's budget isn't here in this. We had this morning in DHS and in OHA. That's what our goal, I assume, is the co-chair's budget, not the governor's budget.
That is correct. The co-chair's budget is basically in general fund. It is the current service level minus $3 million. So that's your target.
Is it broken down?
Well, there is only one piece of detail. You had a lot more detail for human services, and certainly there was a lot more detail for education. But in public safety, there's one piece of detail, and that is $20 million for the justice reinvestment grants through the Criminal Justice Commission. And that's compared to the governor's $58.5
million. Thank you.
Senator Winters?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
So that will be your job to hit that target some way. Okay.
Got it.
So that is what I have for you there. A little signposting for tomorrow. There will be a public safety program area overview from the governor's public safety policy advisor, Heidi Moad, and Art Ayer from the DAS budget office. On Monday, we'll hear the Criminal Justice Commission and have public testimony. On Tuesday, there will be a special informational piece to the meeting, which would be how the avoided costs that resulted from sentencing reform are calculated in DOC. So there will be a little bit of that discussion that will start off on Tuesday, and then you will move into the Oregon Military Department budget for the rest of the week. That's what I have.
Okay. Questions?
No, but I just a comment, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I think there'll be a lot of discussion around 3194 and the CJC and the DOC budget, given the work on 3194, which we're still actually meeting on it. And so I'm hoping that there's adequate time allowed for that discussion, and because most of that in there is really budget-driven.
I think there will be, as part of the Criminal Justice Commission presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right, anything else for the good of the order? We are adjourned.
Gee, that was quick.
We are adjourned.
Gee, that was quick.